back on Canuck Central. Hour number two. This hour is brought to you by BC Liquor until June 28th. Save $6 on eccentric Cabernet Sauvignon and Coors Light 24 packs. Visit your nearest BC Liquor location today. Enjoy responsibly. We still got lots to come here on the program. We'll get more into the Abbotsford Canucks and them advancing to the Calder Cup final a little bit later on this hour. But right now, it's time for the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh, that's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yeah, it's the Open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest, well, the Abbotsford Canucks, as just mentioned, headed to the Calder Cup Finals. That series to start later this week against the Charlotte Checkers, who've won 8 straight playoff games. So another tough task ahead for the Abbotsford Canucks. But at the NHL level, offseason preparations continuing on, and we were sold a bag of magic beans, maybe, with the draft combine being this place where all the trades and transactions were going to get set up. And hey, maybe a lot of those discussions have set the table for a busier transactional period once the Stanley Cup final comes to an end. We get to the draft and free agency and all of that. But was the draft combine a dud from a speculation standpoint, Sat?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Like, as far as like trade
Sat
speculation.
Sat lives for this, man. He loves shutting down speculation and rumors.
You know why? Because NHL GMs are cowards, and they talk way bigger games than they're willing to actually go out there and do, right?
Like, so, decentralized draft. There's going to be so much done at the combine this
year. I'll believe it when I see it.
The same names that we had at the combine are the same names we're talking about after the combine.
Now, there were some interesting things about some of the draft picks and guys that are coming up. And as far as like, so,
and this, like, Jim Rutherford and Alvin didn't even go.
No, they did not go. No, they did not go.
We don't need to be there.
No. Now
we're not making the 15th overall. I don't know.
No.
That,
now Alvin also didn't go last year to the combine. And I mean, obviously they had Cameron Granato there. They had Todd Harvey there. They ran the draft last year. They're going to the combine. They sent those guys there this year as well. The take was, and it was a fair take heading into the combine because of how much the combine was being played up, right? That, you know, this is going to be replacing the draft. So you want to make sure that you take advantage of being at the combine, and the Canucks not having their GM at the combine, at least for a lot of fans, raised some eyebrows. Now, did that matter or not? What Frank said was interesting, because he mentioned that even the notion, the thing that the combine would always do was it would allow management to talk to agents and get an idea about free agency, perhaps lay the groundwork. But as he said, the league is trying to crack down on that. So perhaps that was even more muted this year. And that's not to say that it was fun if they weren't there or not. And honestly, like, I can't be too bothered about this one way or another, as far as like, what does this mean or what it doesn't mean. But what I always err on, and you're right, Reach, is that if we sit here and talk about this outside of a trade deadline, whether it's a draft or the combine or any other fake pressure point being a real pressure point for trades, they're not.
Yeah.
They're just a fiction of our imagination that we talk about and speculate about in the media, but we're not going to see this deluge of trades in non-pressure point situations. And the pressure point situation is always a deadline. Outside the deadline, anytime anybody talks about it, we're going to see a lot of movement at this time or the other. They're just guessing.
It's it tends to be a moment where some speculation starts to bubble, and it's in Buffalo this year, so Buffalo is a team that everybody's talking about because they clearly want to make changes and mix up their squad. They've missed the playoffs 14 years running, an NHL record. The New York Rangers want to make some kind of an addition that is, given all the work that they did last year to change up their mix and their DNA, that is a continuation. Keandre Miller's name came up quite a bit. So, like, I guess some of those things and discussions could have happened and could be closer today than they were last week. All of that is possible, but it just doesn't feel like we found out anything new coming out of the combine.
No, not as far as, that's not to say that nothing happened behind the scenes that was very helpful for a team or not, right? But as far as reporting goes and us finding out more and more names coming out, no, they weren't. Now, what is interesting though, the thing that took away from Frank's discussion on a couple of things, and you mentioned Buffalo, there was some question after they hired Jarmo Kekalainen if they were going to take a bit of a pause and, you know, go over the team a bit more before, you know, deciding what to do, because they brought somebody in who has good eyes in Jarmo Kekalainen to the team. And what Frank mentioned was they're open for business.
Yeah.
And pretty much listening to just about anything. And I do think the Sabres are a team the Canucks have interest in. And like, there are a number of players in the Sabres the Canucks have interest in. So if they're willing to do business, it's super fascinating, like truly. But do they line up with the Canucks as far as actual trades go?
It's a tough one to answer, right? And again, we go through all of these names and all of these potential all of these possibilities for the Canucks, and I keep looking at it, and I say to myself, like, well, what does that team want that the Canucks have? And that's where it becomes difficult for the Vancouver Canucks.
And you're right. Like, when we go through it and we talk about all these players available, and we went through the Buffalo thing, you heard it earlier, and, you know, we went through the Canuck players.
Like, if Alex Tuch is legitimately available, what do the Canucks have to trade for Alex Tuch?
You're right. Now, you're right. Like,
because I'd love to see Alex Tuch in a Canucks uniform as much as anybody else in the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox.
Well, it's the pieces you're not willing to move, most likely.
Yeah.
Right? Now, we said Buffalo is looking for established players. They're not looking for futures and bets, but there's always a prospect or prospects that they do like.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they view certain players on the Canucks as far as their prospects go, but I'm sure there's a prospect or two that intrigues them.
Mm.
And ultimately, you also don't have to get all your answers in your trade. You can also do get the assets and then flip those assets later. And the best time to do that is the offseason, because you have time to figure other things out, right? So I don't think just because the Canucks don't line up with Buffalo, ideally for them to get the answers they want in established players, doesn't mean they have assets that can help them out to find those players in other avenues.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Canucks want to trade him. And I don't want them to trade him, because you guys know how much I campaigned for this guy to get drafted by the Canucks. Tom Vilander is a player, though, that most teams would be interested in, because they feel like he can play pretty soon on an entry-level contract, right-hand defenseman. If the Canucks don't want to move him, well, that makes it a lot harder, right? But just to answer the question about Buffalo, it doesn't look great, but there's always something you have that interests another team. And how far are you willing to go?
The other names on Buffalo that have gotten a lot of interest, and certainly Bowen Byram's name has come up. He's been linked with the Canucks in the past. Now, you know, they've obviously reworked their defense quite a bit, so it's harder to see a fit for Bowen Byram in Vancouver. But also J.J. Paterka. Could the Canucks use a top six forward? Obviously, Paterka would fit that bill and is young enough. They're both RFAs, and you know, the idea of an offer sheet comes up quite a bit from our listenership. Think of it logically. Buffalo have enough cap space to be able to match any offer sheet, and they're probably not too interested. If they're going to trade those guys, they're not too interested in just getting draft picks back in return.
Yeah.
So, like, an offer sheet, while I get it, it might make sense in theory. It doesn't make sense in this situation, because Buffalo can match and they don't really want the draft picks. And for those players, if they really want to leave Buffalo, the last thing they want to do is maybe sign an offer sheet, because that gives Buffalo the opportunity to match, and then they're stuck in Buffalo.
You just nailed it, because this is not a situation where Buffalo doesn't want Paterka.
Yeah.
It's Paterka who doesn't want Buffalo.
Yes.
So for him to sign an offer sheet, it's always a risk.
Yes.
Now, obviously, there's always an amount of money you sign for, and you're like, hey, if you're going to pay me this much money, I'll stay in Buffalo. Who cares,
you know,
right? You test another team's resolve.
I can live with the snow squalls in Buffalo. You know? It's not that bad.
If I'm making eight and a half, nine or whatever the number is, right? But I think based on some of the stuff that's come out about from Buffalo, I think the Sabres are almost welcoming an offer sheet, because I don't think he's going to get that $9-10 million offer sheet. It'll be something in that 7, maybe 8 range.
Yeah.
And that to them, I think, is palatable. They have cap space, they have flexibility. So I think they're almost welcoming it. And I think the best thing Paterka can do, if he doesn't want to sign there, is just not sign.
Yeah. Make it difficult and try to hold out as long as possible. Yeah. Now, they hold your rights, so you know, they could play hardball too. But
you're making it messy. And at some point, they're like, hey, if you really don't want to be here,
yeah,
but does he want to make it that messy? And you're right. So we sit here and we're assuming Paterka's going to get traded. What are the chances he just finishes, you know, he ends up being a Buffalo for the foreseeable future?
Yeah. Maybe he just signs a bridge contract, gets him closer to free agency. We could see those types of things happen. So you know, as the rumor mill continues to develop, you're hearing those names. We know those situations. The Rangers, Keandre Miller, nice player. Again, given the Canucks on defense right now, not really a fit for the Vancouver Canucks. We'll see what happens with guys like Will Cooley, another RFA of interest. But, you know, given the season he had and the size profile, he's going to have a lot of interest if the Rangers do explore moving Will Cooley. What's kind of more interesting, I think, from a Canucks perspective, and we got a question today on Twitter about William Karlsson, whose name has come up quite a bit from Todd Naslund. Could he help the Canucks, or is he washed? He's got 2 years left. I'm just reading the text verbatim. What do you want from me?
I'm just laughing. Why would he be washed?
Anyway. 2 years left at 5.9. He's been in a lot of trade rumors. I know it was reported over the weekend that he shut down a potential move to Toronto. I don't think it ever got to the point where he was asked to move to Toronto. Mm. At least that's what I heard about the situation. So he is a player that could get moved, but he does have trade protection, so it is interesting.
Well, he has modified no trade, so 10 team no trade list, right? Does he have Vancouver on the list? If he had Toronto on the list, if he could say no to Toronto,
he had Toronto on the list and was never asked to waive. So
right. So if he has Toronto on the list, would he
have
one
of the other six Canadian teams as well?
Right?
It's possible.
Just saying. So maybe this is moot anyways. Mm-hmm. Maybe he has no interest in coming to Vancouver.
But I think that's more like from a trade, an acquisition cost standpoint, a player that's essentially a salary cap dump might be easier for the Canucks to acquire.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. A salary cap dump would be. Is he viewed as that? I know he didn't have the most prolific year, but he was he played well defensively, played a lot of tough minutes for them still. He had the injury, and he was still relied upon to play in a lot of situations. And, you know, he wins a lot of faceoffs, great on the PK, good in the shutdown role.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be dirt cheap, but yes, like if you can get William Karlsson for less than a second round pick, like I'd do it any day.
That would help your second line center situation.
Yeah, we saw them dump Nate Schmidt mm-hmm. some years back after signing him, and he was a lot younger then, but they had to move the cap space. Now, it was a flat cap world. It was different back then. Just moving money was hard enough to do, but they got a third round pick in exchange for that.
Yeah.
Would I do a third for William Karlsson? Any day. For sure. But would they do it for that? Like, I'm not sure they would view him as a straight dump like that.
I feel like he's too good of a player to be a straight dump in that sense.
Yeah. Like maybe a second and a prospect or something, which can still be interesting. If you're not trading a first round pick and answering your center position for a couple of years, I'm all ears.
It's a more, it's a better solution, I think, than some of the other things we've talked about. Projecting on a Marco Rossi, who's going to have a bigger trade cost and also has to get a big contract on top of that, although I like Rossi a lot more than you do, Sat, because you're just biased towards players under 6 feet tall.
You're not wrong.
I'm just calling you.
Yeah,
on,
I mean,
okay?
You're not wrong. Yeah, I'm not denying it. I don't dismiss every player under 6 feet tall, but it's hard for me to accept a player who's under 6 feet tall.
Unbelievable. If I were to just tell you, hey, here's a 23-year-old player, soon to be 24, who just had back-to-back 20-goal seasons, just came off a 60-point year,
yeah,
was good enough to play with guys like Kirill Kaprizov and Matt Boldy,
mm-hmm.
and you'd be like, nah, how tall is he?
Well, like I said.
How tall is he?
Hey, I don't say that about Brad Marchand. I don't say that about, you know, certain players. It's about how effective you can be. Like Jared Spurgeon, one of my favorite defensemen in the league. He's like 5'7".
Fair enough.
I love Quinn Hughes.
Yes.
Connor Garland in his 50 minutes.
Yeah. Eddie keeps bringing up Connor Garland, how I'm not mentioning his name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, that's kind of where I'm looking at. And I know Mason Marchment's name came up last week as well. Dallas very clearly has to open up some cap space if they're going to do some things. And we talked a lot about Jason Robertson with Frank, and I'm skeptical Dallas goes down this road this year, because why? You know, you got another year of control. He's still an RFA after this upcoming season. I don't think there's an urgency to trade Jason Robertson unless you really need to open up a lot of cap space, which Dallas would like to open up some. I don't know if they need to open up nearly $8 million by moving off of Jason Robertson. But man, that's a really interesting name. And I can see why they might not want to give him the big contract extension once he is eligible for it, and he is eligible as early as July 1 of this year. But it seems like a slam dunk given his scoring profile. But now that they've signed Mikko Rantanen, I feel like that equation changes.
Yeah, it has changed. I mean, can you afford to? I mean, you can because they have the cap space. But does it make sense for them in a team building standpoint? And also, do they love the player enough to spend upwards of $22 million plus on two left shot wingers. That's a lot of money, right? Yeah.
I know, like, hey, you still got a pretty good center in Rupe Hintz and Wyatt Johnston.
You can play them on different lines and all that.
Yeah, so you know, and both Hintz and Johnston are locked up at great numbers. And if you lock up their two wingers at bigger numbers, then hey, it's settled. So I kind of get that. But the thing about it is, like, okay, so Jason Robertson, left shot. Mikko Rantanen, left shot. If you have to pay, I kind of look at it as, remember when the Leafs got Tavares?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's like, okay, yeah, cool. You got Tavares, $11 million a year. And then after they got Tavares, they had to sign Matthews and Marner. And Matthews was like, wait, I just scored more than this guy, so I should get paid more than this guy.
Yeah.
And then Marner was like, I had more points than Tavares. I should get paid just as much as him or very close.
Precisely.
And he got just under $11 million. So it's like Jason Roberts is looking at it like, okay, I'm not as good as Mikko Rantanen, fine, but I'm not $4 million less than he is or $3 million less. I'm like, maybe 10 and a half, maybe 11.
And maybe they like the player enough and they feel like, hey, he's talented, that we keep both these guys and they commit to them long term. But color me somewhat skeptical.
Mm.
But the point you've been making too is they don't have to make that trade today.
No.
He's RFA after next season.
Yeah.
They have a lot of time to play this out. They can take another run next year and then tackle that next offseason. But the way things are lining up, it seems like he's a guy who's going to be available.
Yeah. At some point, he could very well be available out of Dallas. Now, maybe more likely they move on from Mason Marchment, maybe buy out Matt Dumba or something to that effect to open up a little bit of extra cap space.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned, you know, we mentioned a bit earlier about Vegas and the reason that they would clear cap space is Marner being a guy. Obviously, they'd be after those reports that the Kings would be very much after Mitch Marner too. Now, the Kings have cap space. They can figure out ways to do it. But if Vegas does, it opens up a player, right? If another team that needs cap space is able to land a Marner type, that creates availability, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to see if anybody becomes available if that happens. And, you know, what, you know, makes Carlson interesting to me is the fact it's only 2 years on his deal.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not big on going after guys and, you know, 32 years old or whatever, but if you can get a guy for 1 or 2 years to cover it, if you can find that long-term solution, that to me is something that's okay as a short-term gap, but Carlson is not a long-term solution.
No. Gets you through the next 2 years, yeah.
And that's where it's at. So are the Canucks going to be able to find their long-term solution, which ideally is a center in his 20s, or are they going to have to do a stopgap for a couple of years?
It's just hard to find the long-term center.
Yeah.
So the stopgap is almost easier to find.
Yeah, I mean, even
in theory, but like there's not a lot of centers available in general. So.
No, but even in free agency, right? And it depends on what the Canucks are looking for. We talked about Bennett, and I'm also skeptical. I don't think Bennett's getting $9.5-$10 million in free agency. We'll see if it does happen, but we'll see what happens on it. But he probably doesn't line up for Vancouver anyways, right? But if you go through guys that can win some face-offs and play some tough minutes for you, like, there aren't many in free agency. There's, you know, maybe if Radek Faksa, if you want to get a third, fourth line guy,
mm-hmm.
How do you feel about Mikael Granlund in his 30s?
Yeah. Nah, not great.
Right?
And Dallas wants to keep him.
Yeah.
Granlund at this stage of his career is like, hey, we're a pretty set full team. Like, this is a guy that helps us get over the top.
Yeah. And if in free agency you're going after a Granlund or even a Claude Giroux or whatever, I mean, that's not going to be cheap.
No.
And if you have to give an extra year, do you want to give a guy like that a third year?
No.
That's why the trade route, and that's why
Like when Granlund went to Pittsburgh, how much of a disaster was it, right? Because he needed to be like the number three or four guy after their top guys. And it's like, that's not his game.
No.
But when he is, you know, the sixth or seventh best player on your roster and he fits in with the rest of the group, that's when he's best.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing in Dallas. That's probably why Dallas wants to keep him.
And, you know, as we're going through the free agent list, and outside of the Canucks maybe going after some toughness on the wing, like a Tanner Jeannot or something, or go after a guy with some size like Justin Brazeau or guys like that that they may want to add down your lineup, the answer is not coming in free agency.
Mm-mm.
Unless you bring Pew Suter back.
Yeah.
Now, does Matt Duchene actually make it to free agency if Dallas is having a bit of a crisis after going through what they went through?
It's possible. I still don't, like, I don't see him signing north of the border.
I don't disagree. And as good as he's been, do you want to give a guy who's in his mid-30s a four-year deal or something? Because he's looking to get paid.
Yeah. He's, you know, this could be, he's played really well in Dallas. This could be a last chance to get another 3-year deal at a pretty big number.
Mm-hmm.
For a guy that's nearing the end, right? So all those things, you know, it's looking at the free agent market, it kind of it makes Marco Rossi go from a 7 as an option to like an 8, maybe an 8.5.
It's relative, you know, to the market, right?
It's relative to the market.
Relative to where you're at. Well, I mean, Seguin, this guy says Seguin, Canucks have assets, you know, to buy low candidates. Like, those are the things you're probably looking at. Mm. Now, Seguin, he also has no move protection. Even if he does waive it, would he want to go to Vancouver? And that number's still big. It's very big, mm-hmm, for a couple of years. I don't love that number. On retention is a bit different, perhaps, but none of these options are perfect. But I agree with you, and Rutherford has said as much, their answers for center are going to be coming
in trade. Not going to work on the free agent market for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah.
To the playoff central roundup, game 3, Oilers at Panthers tonight. Marchand continues to be unbelievable. Scores the OT winner. Loved Roberto Luongo's tweet, favorite player of all time.
Yeah, I don't know if I did. Don't know if, like, I get it.
I mean,
him.
It's funny.
I know.
Doesn't like it.
It was funny. It was
for our listeners.
Very funny.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this on Friday night. I can't wait till the picture of Marchand and Luongo with the cup if Florida wins again. The reaction of that is going to be off the charts.
Oh, Canucks fans are going to just
hate it.
Did we really need to open up this wound right now?
Lou would be like, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Lou would be like, it's my second cup. What am I going to do? This guy helped.
It's like a therapy session. Face your fears, okay? Just face them. RNH is a game time decision. Ryan Nugent Hopkins suffering through something. He'll take warm up tonight and decide if he is going to play. The latest Athletic mock draft had the Canucks taking Victor Eklund at 15.
Another Swede?
Mm-hmm. That would be like, as far as like my sort of pre-draft research, which is starting to kick into gear here, feels low for Victor Eklund from where I've seen him. So interesting that Scott Wheeler would say maybe the public is a little higher on Eklund than what NHL teams are.
This always happens, and it's going to be fascinating, right? Because Victor Eklund is going to be one of those players that if he ends up going, say, 16, 17... massive steal.
Is he
actually, though?
Yeah.
You know, it's like Jordan Schrader many years back.
He
was kind of ranked as a top 10 prospect. Canucks got him late in the first round. This guy was one of the highest scoring world junior players for Team USA and breaking records. And it's like, you know, sometimes I know, like, we have jobs is to give opinions and our opinions criticize and critique. And that's what we do, right? We watch, we criticize and critique. But I think we also have to be honest enough that the people in these positions know infinitely more than we do.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, right?
And that could be why Victor Eklund becomes a little bit more of a draft faller than a riser.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's one of those things. I'm all for it. We can criticize and all that. But there's this assumption that people don't know what they're doing sometimes. It's not quite like that, you know?
It's not quite like that in every case. But there are
exceptions.
There are exceptions to that.
There are a lot of morons in every industry.
Yeah. Also, fact, the Canucks have been one of the worst drafting teams in the league over the last 20 years.
Facts only
here on this program. Okay. Coming up, Ben Lipka is going to join us. Abbotsford News. It was quite the scene at the Abbotsford Center last night. We'll get you ready for the Calder Cup final next on Canucks Central.